things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
All right, what up, guys? Another week, another bout in the squared circle, or the four ropes, as said by Cesaro once. It's another episode of Brain Stew Wrestling. It is I, Mike Punchy Falcone, with, as usual, Hammy at the board. And this week's guest, we got one Josh Wells. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. This is great.
I love having all these comic friends of yours coming to the show, Punchy. This is great. Josh Wells, let's just get the cheap plugs out of the way. Where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. You can find me at Josh Ain't Funny. I host a mic in Jersey City for anyone in a Jersey City, northern New Jersey area. First and third Wednesdays every month. Citizen, 8 p.m. You can catch me at the Citizen tomorrow. Not at a mic, at an actual show there as well tomorrow, 8 p.m. $5 cover. It'll be a good time.
There we go. Cheap plugs out of the way.
Yes.
You can download this show after you're done listening at brainstewradio.com, both in audio and video form. Trying to push the boundaries of both formats here. Josh, simple question. What got you into wrestling? What moments got you going, like, you know, this looks really awesome and I'm going to be a fan of it? Like, we ask this every new guest that comes in. What got you involved? What got you inspired to like wrestling, and what made you become a wrestling fan?
Hulkamania. It was marketed to kids when I was a kid so well. There was rock and roll wrestling. They had the action figures. The action figures, you couldn't actually bend or anything. They were just big and they just bashed them into each other and they were awkward.
So they're kind of like Vince's prototype for a wrestler.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, as a kid getting into wrestling, I was a Hulkamaniac. Everything I liked as a kid, like, I hate now, you know, like, I hate, like, the big muscle bound guys that don't have any, you know, don't have like a really good move set.
But that's what fans want.
I just stuck with it through the years. I took a break somewhere around when Stone Cold turned heel. I don't know if it had something to do with I moved out. I couldn't afford cable at first, or if Stone Cold going heel just broke my heart. So I got back into it like many years later, and it was already John Cena's time. Lesnar was gone. Everybody was gone.
Yeah. And then when did you come back?
I came back right before Nexus.
Right before Nexus.
And that's actually what dragged me in. I thought this is a compelling story. I'm into this. These young upstarts are beating everybody up and taking over, and I was way into that storyline.
And I'm pretty sure, like, isn't at this point most of Nexus now out of WWE?
Oh man, I mean,
either that or they're on their way out. Right. I know Wade Barrett's on his way out, or is already out,
which sucks because, like, Barrett should have been a lot better, like a lot higher profile than he ended up being. Part of it's injuries. Like, injuries screwed him over big time.
Absolutely. I think that they totally didn't cash in. There's two times they didn't cash in with Barrett. Definitely in the beginning. Maybe they threw him into the title scene too soon, but I just felt like when he finally got a chance to fight John Cena, that was it. Like Wade Barrett fell off after that. They disbanded. He had the core on SmackDown, and it just felt... The core just felt like the B grade Nexus. You just couldn't take it serious. And Bad News Barrett, they could have cashed in I think that could have been such a huge character.
Yeah, he was one of the most watchable things
At that time. Absolutely. I look forward to what was this week's Bad News, and then they made him the king, I think, and that's when he just stopped doing it.
So I'm looking at the Nexus. Yeah, most of the people who were on the Nexus are gone.
You got Heath Slater and Ryback are still there.
Darren Young is still there.
Yeah.
Let's see who else we got here. But other, like, then you, well, David Otunga is still somehow employed.
Is he? What does he do now?
He's there as, like, their token legal expert.
Fair enough. I think you see him more on Fox News or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'd see an NBC than WWE at this point.
He's like the Harvard hire. Yeah. the Ivy League hire. So there were some, I mean, and aside from like what got you into wrestling, it's funny that he did say what got him back was Nexus. A lot of people that we've talked to took a break along with us were was the Punk pipe bomb. So you're one of the few who got in before that. But what would, since we're talking about a bunch of these wrestlers like Punk and some of the ones you liked as a kid, what are your top five?
Top five right now. I feel like top five is a very fluid thing, and from day to day. It could be different. But this is my top five right now. One is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Two is Mick Foley. Three is CM Punk. Four is Y2J. And the Punk Y2J thing, they fluctuate. They trade places a lot. And fifth is Daniel Bryan.
Would you say that you have a favorite match of all time? If you had to pick one, like one that you always go back on, like if someone, like my girlfriend, for example, she asks me all the time, why do you love this? This just seems really, really dumb. She asked me this. I showed her a few matches that I always go back to. Michaels Taker at WrestleMania 25 is one that I always show people. Do you have one that always stands out for you as the pinnacle of what pro wrestling should be?
I do. It's CM Punk versus John Cena at Money in the Bank. I just that match is incredible. Really, and anytime I show it to somebody who doesn't know anything about pro wrestling, especially if you let the promos before the match play out, they do such a good job of chopping that up. And you know, just getting a summary of that whole storyline from Pipe Bomb onto that night in Chicago. And you know,
match is crazy.
People who don't know anything about wrestling, they know John Cena's supposed to be the good guy. So immediately they know there's something really good about this story, because when John Cena comes out, the crowd's just not having it.
John Cena is this generation's Hulk Hogan. Like back in the 80s, you didn't even need to watch wrestling, but Hulk Hogan, he does the wrestling thing. Today, John Cena's everywhere, and be like, oh, John Cena does the wrestling thing. No one can deny that he's just this generation's Hogan.
The main difference is, though, John Cena put people over.
Yeah, when the time came, John Cena actually did lose to people and put them over.
I mean, Vince made it so that it wasn't most of the time, but still, Cena put people over. And one more question for you before we go to the news. What would your dream match be that hasn't happened yet?
The dream match is CM Punk versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. I really wanted Stone Cold to just get it together enough for one more match. Yeah. I thought they could have had that's build up and everything included. Those two, they totally get it, you know, psychology and storytelling in the ring. I think it would have been next level.
Now Punk's playing MMA for a while, and then, you know, I don't know, maybe he won't come back.
I'm going to be an MMA fighter, ow my back. Like, all those years of taking bumps have really caught up to him, and he thinks he could step into the octagon. Like, I mean, if you're chasing your dreams, I mean, God bless, you know, like, do what you think is best for you and your family, and I'm pretty sure UFC's paying him a shit ton of money anyway.
Yeah.
But to go in the UFC and fight with these guys on a professional level, I just have a very good feeling he's just going to get annihilated.
From Punk's perspective, I mean, I feel like a lot of fans take it out on him, but UFC is just as guilty as Punk about this, right? I mean, UFC shouldn't be giving a guy with no experience a UFC match. Like, they should be making him go through, I'm not too up on UFC, but whatever the minor league equivalent is for UFC, they should
Bellator.
they should have him doing something like that. They know as soon as they put his name on a bill that they might get, I don't know, maybe a couple million extra wrestling nerd fans
UFC,
will tune in all of a sudden.
What UFC's doing right now is they're slowly, like, again, basically not talking about wrestling here for just a brief second because you brought up UFC. UFC is basically doing what WWE is doing now with their UFC Fight Pass, which is basically their WWE network. Like, you can go in, watch any fight you want from any pay-per-view you want, and they currently do free TV shows on Fox Sports, but they're slowly transitioning, because I have a very good feeling they're going to sign an exclusive deal with ESPN soon, but that's besides the point. What they should do is get CM Punk's first match on UFC Fight Pass. Not on a pay-per-view, on Fight Pass. You want to see CM Punk's first UFC fight?
That's a good idea.
Subscribe to Fight Pass, and that's where you're going to watch it.
And then if he does embarrass himself, at least it's not on this humongous stage, because it's going to be humongous if they put him on one of the numbered pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah. Put Punk versus whoever he's going to fight on Fight Pass, and the main event be a real, like, legit fight people would want to see.
They actually already had, like, one of their fight nights. The main event was two, like, guys who weren't UFC, like, signees, were, like, inexperienced fighters. They fought to, like, be Punk's opponent. So they are putting a lot into CM Punk's first UFC fight.
Because Dana White's smart. He's like Vince McMahon. He sees a dollar signs. He sees a potential. He knows, I mean, he's already got one CM Punk-like star right there with Conor McGregor, and we all know what's going on with that drama. He's basically pulling the Austin in 2002.
Yeah, the difference is though, McGregor's like, no, I'm back, guys. I was just kidding. JK, guys.
He's trying to book the card.
Actually, that's not true. Dana White's basically saying, all right, you didn't want to promote your fight? Well, screw you. You're not going to be a part of UFC 200,
well,
a.k.a.
No.
The biggest show ever.
No, as in he's not retired, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what Dana White's going to probably do, though, now is put him on the first card in New York.
Well, if...
Because
like,
No. Dana White's not stupid. He's going to put a big match on there. So... might as well put his cash cow on there. And I'm guaranteeing that's why Dana White's saying you're not on 200. It's not because of the contract.
And I bet that's going to be Ronda Rousey's return fight, too. But anyway, back to pro wrestling.
Yeah.
My bad, guys.
I know we got into actual real fighting for a second. Let's get back to quote-unquote fake fighting. Top five news stories. And right off the bat, Mike, number one news story of the week was...
happened literally hours after our last episode, by the way.
Yeah. Right after we signed off last week, we got the notifications all over Twitter. Joni Lahr, a.k.a. China, passes away last week. And the wrestling world, like, regardless of what you think of China with her personal beef with Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and all her porn videos or whatever, her Playboy, regardless of what you think of Joni Lahr, you cannot deny that she pioneered women's wrestling to main event status, along with the Divas in the late 90s. Multiple-time women's champion. First woman to ever win the Intercontinental title. And I think the first woman to ever enter the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And she eliminated Mark Henry, who was billed back then as like the big ensemble monster. She just came in and just, fuck you, Mark Henry, and just eliminate him. So, Joni Lahr, a huge loss to the wrestling world.
Yeah, I mean, great. And... I'm glad that WWE actually put a tribute on there, but them putting a tribute of her on there kind of like destroys Triple H's reason why they wouldn't induct her into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, they have to induct her now.
Now they have to.
Well, I think the problem before was they were afraid they were going to induct her, and then she would go make another porn.
Yeah, as a Hall of Famer.
She'd use that Hall of Fame status to, you know, to not saying that she would do it, but I think WWE, that was their fear. Now she can't make a porn, so they're...
We have to be PG, but yet we're issuing an adult-themed cartoon written by Seth Green on the WWE Network that's targeted to adults. And the promo for this cartoon feature Ric Flair going to a strip club on our PG TV show
for $9.99.
In the back of my head, I think this show doesn't last. I think parents are going to complain or something, and they're going to give in to the pressure and they'll take it off.
I mean, aside from Robot Chicken, has Seth Green really done anything except be like Scott Evil in Austin Powers movies?
No, not at all, actually. Like, that's all he's done.
And the voice of Chris Griffin. So Chris Griffin and Robot Chicken are, like, the two things that he's, like, really known for. And being a C-level actor in Austin Powers movies. But Camp WWE, I really don't see that working out. I think you're right. I think people are going to be outraged about it. But you don't know, because I hated the Edge and Christian show at first. But, man, did they get edgy real quick.
No
pun intended here.
It.
The stuff with Dreamer is hilarious.
It was hilarious. The segments with Bailey was great. The segment with the Wyatts was great. He read nursery rhymes in his Bray Wyatt tone of voice. And they had AJ Styles on and say, will WWE talk about the previous promotion that AJ wrestled for? And they showed a photo of TNA, the tag team TNA, which Rich Status. And that's how I got away with mentioning TNA. It's great. I like the Edge and Christian show. I turned around to it. But Camp WWE seems to be a one-and-done season, I think. Number four, news story of the week. Samoa Joe wins the NXT title at a house show. Mike,
I can't wait to see the full match, because I think they're showing the actual match on NXT this week. And I'm glad Joe won the title, and I think he should be the one to actually he should be the next like record breaking NXT champion. But then part of me is like, no, let him lose it quickly, like Kevin Owens style, so that he can debut on the main roster and just tear shit up there too. But it'd be awesome to see him hold it for a while and just be a monster champion, because it's Samoa Joe. Like, he's now won the TNA title, the Ring of Honor title, and now the NXT title. I mean, probably won't win the WWE one, but whatever. And as we're showing video here, it's Samoa Joe.
Risky opportunity here, launching
versus Balor at the end. I think the lower mass.
Finn Balor would be injured in this exchange. Samoa Joe crawling back into the ring. The WWE medical team trying to treat Finn Balor at ringside.
From what I'm reading from people who were actually there, it was a great match too.
Yeah, well, those two have been putting on great matches this whole feud.
Every single match they've put on is it's been a gem.
And yeah, the crowd erupted for Samoa Joe winning.
He should. All he deserves all the credit in the world.
And I think there were NXT tapings like either this week or last week.
Those are the best moments, by the way. Yeah. When right that moment right after he wins, kayfabe is broken with the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and they all just respect Joe and his career and his legacy so much that it's like you can't help but cheer.
And we mentioned CM Punk earlier in his leaving WWE. It is kind of funny after he leaves WWE,
gets all the Reign of Honor stars that worked with him,
all the change he wanted to have WWE do, they're starting to do. Like their top. Let's face it, their top guy is not Roman Reigns. Their top guy is Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah. He's Agreed. Still the man. He's, yeah, as far as like charisma, persona, character, wrestling yeah. ability, in-ring ability, looks, yeah, Seth Rollins is the man.
Well, and then like a lot of like indie guys are now top names in the main roster. And some of them are starting to finally claw their way up there, like the Cesaros or the Sami Zayn's finally debuting.
Kevin Owens' first year.
Holy, Kevin Owens, probably the best debut first year a wrestler's had.
In a very long time.
A two-time Intercontinental Champion, and he beat John Cena clean.
Which is...
Unheard of.
Unheard of in WWE. But we mentioned Samoa Joe winning the NXT title, and I found this fan video from the event. Just listen to from a fan's perspective of what the audience was like in the NXT house show.
You know what I like about these fan reaction videos is hearing the crowd before the WWE mutes the mic, the crowd.
That's why I loved watching WrestleMania, just knowing that, okay, you are live. There's maybe like a 10 to 12 second delay, and we're watching on the network.
There's no way the crowd's
no
like...
No way can they edit out the boos. And man, when Roman Reigns came out to that ring, boy, did the fans in Dallas let him have it.
I was there. I was at Mania. I could tell you that when Roman Reigns came out, it was like a mood changer. I felt like the crowd.
Oh, you actually went to Mania?
Yeah, like, I went this year. I went to Dallas.
Why the fuck didn't I notice? How was okay, a fan's perspective, describe your experience at WrestleMania.
Well, I was in the nosebleed, so it's not the most, I don't have the most incredible story, but
still, it's WrestleMania.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you were it's like nosebleed seats to the Super Bowl. You were there.
But it was incredible. I mean, the energy, it was just amazing. Besides the whole I don't know if you guys heard the whole waiting in line drama, the Wi-Fi broke down and the lines got really backed up, but once everyone got in, it was a really good time. But yeah, that moment Roman Reigns came out, it felt like it felt like you were at just the greatest party, and then one person everybody didn't want to show up showed up.
Did you go to the takeover? That
couldn't get tickets for that.
That was the hardest.
You know
what's
funny? The week before WrestleMania, I found WrestleMania tickets. Like, you can scalp them, and they were still kind of sort of affordable. I could not find NXT tickets.
I was watching StubHub up until the last, because like to the last second. I'll get in an Uber right now, 5 minutes before. I'll miss like 10 minutes of a match or whatever, and still go. But I mean, at the end of the night, StubHub, they were like $500-$600.
Because it's NXT, and that was also Nakamura's debut. I could picture a lot of like Japanese media people and like people from Japan traveling for that match.
Well, that's part of it. The place is really small, though. Also, too, it wasn't like when they were in Barclays, you could fit. I think they fit 12,000 for Barclays.
Yeah,
NXT.
Yeah, they fit a lot. Like that one, that was massive. That show.
So I got to ask. We all saw The Fall. We all know. I think you both know what I'm talking about here. Shane McMahon's fall off the Hell in a Cell. I heard that the stadium erupted. How loud was the pop for that bump right there?
It was such a crazy moment. It was one of those things you kind of knew it was coming right before it happened. And from where I was sitting, I watched everything on the big screen because otherwise
I'm just, it was like watching
ants, yeah, fight each other. But for I knew he was going to jump off it, and just for one moment, I took my eyes off the big screen because I just wanted to see Shane McMahon disappear out of my line of vision, and it happened. And then I went back up to the screen real quick. It was just a beautiful moment for wrestling. They both put on a pretty phenomenal match. I wasn't big on the matchup going into Mania. I thought...
I don't think any of us were either.
Yeah,
We all thought that was going to be the debut of Bullet Club, Balor being called up,
yeah,
screwing The Undertaker and getting Shane the win.
Yeah.
We thought that was going to happen. Like, Taker winning clean was just like,
no shenanigans,
right.
Nothing. Just...
And there's heavy rumors that... he told everyone backstage, like, this is it. I'm, like, legit done now with wrestling. And that was his last match. Again, just rumors, but Taker has said this before, that he's had this, that was my last match. But everyone's saying that he was serious this time. So maybe. We don't know yet.
Yeah, we'll believe Michael Jordan when he's...
Yeah, you know.
When he's Undertaker, crying,
Undertaker's, yeah, Undertaker's the Brett Favre of WWE.
Yeah.
It's almost... I mean, isn't there a part of his legacy that it's almost kind of sad in a way? Like, I almost wish he did walk away right after he lost to Lesnar. I felt like that was the right thing to do for a legend.
Honestly, I think if he were to go out at the perfect time would have been at 28 after that Hell in a Cell with Triple H and all three of them.
No, but
like,
then we don't get Taker versus Punk the next year, so...
No, I think I like that idea better.
So if you wanted to go out,
Shawn Michaels and Triple H are arm in arm at the end.
Yeah, because you had now 4 years of WrestleManias of fighting with these two legends, three Hall of Famers right there, three of the best ever, and you all break kayfabe and you bow out to the crowd. That was a perfect way to go out.
Well, Triple H and Shawn Michaels are used to breaking kayfabe, so...
That is true, but Taker never is. Like, he never breaks
kayfabe. He's all
kayfabe.
It's just...
And, like, WWE has a video when Ric Flair originally retired or whatever. Taker came out and actually hugged Flair and, like, did his whole, you know, on one knee bowing thing. He did it to Flair and he broke kayfabe. And I'm like, I can't think of another time I've seen The Undertaker break kayfabe and it was on WWE programming. I just, I can't remember it.
So,
The news stories.
Speaking of Ric Flair, since you mentioned it.
Speaking of Ric Flair, number three, Ric Flair.
Detained at a Boston airport for being too intoxicated.
I have a really passionate opinion about this.
So Ric Flair detained for being Ric Flair.
Yeah, he's Ric Flair. Is he having drinks at an airport bar and making a little noise? Yeah, he's Ric Flair. That's what he does. I don't understand.
Have you not seen his promos?
Yeah.
Airport security? I mean, he elbow drops his coat while it's on the ground. That's not him being drunk. It's him being Ric Flair.
Yeah, I don't find it to be that big of a deal. It's like, Ric Flair gets in trouble for being exactly what we thought he was.
Yeah. The limousine riding, jet flying.
Limousine riding, jet flying.
You don't want to go to an airport and run into Ric Flair, and he's doing the crossword puzzle, quietly waiting for his plane to arrive.
Ric Flair is the Mick Jagger of the Keith Richards of WWE.
Yes!
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
You don't know when the hell he's going to die, but he's still doing it.
He just always looks like he's either drunk or on coke 24/7.
By the way, speaking of Ric Flair, one of the funniest Facebook pages I've discovered on Facebook is Ric Flair was there.
One of the funniest Facebook pages you discovered on Facebook?
Yeah, I kind of said Facebook 20 times. One of the best Facebook pages ever is Ric Flair was there. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. They Photoshop Ric Flair into famous photos of history and nature or whatever.
I think I've seen it. I saw recently a $20 bill with Ric Flair on it.
Right, right.
So they stay topical.
Right, they say topical and they have great references. Ric Flair was there. It's amazing Facebook page, and it's very funny.
Woo!
Number four, League of Nations Splitsville.
Yep. So this is from the SmackDown tapings. Rusev and Del Rio decided to abandon Sheamus during a match against Cesaro, Sami Zayn, and I forget who else was in the match, but, you know. So and then Sheamus obviously took the pinfall on that loss. So, they've split up League of Nations. You know the thing with League of Nations? They could have been something awesome, but it got cut off at the legs because they fed Sheamus to Roman Reigns too early. And then
Once Triple H won the Royal Rumble, the League of Nations just seemed obsolete. Yeah, there was
irrelevant.
There's no reason for them to be together, and nobody was into the whole a League of Nations. I don't know, the music wasn't good.
The music was good. Like they had prime.
I disagree. I think the League of Nations scene was I think it was the best scene about that stable.
That's the only good thing.
And then they looked like they were going to finally get a storyline where they got to face off against the Wyatt families, and then half the Wyatts get hurt, and they're like, "All right, we're breaking you up because we need singles competitors because we have so many injuries."
But if they would push one of them, it's like you see the breakup happening, and now they're just using them to put over upper mid card guys.
What I want to know is where is the Del Rio that will, like, why is it that when he goes to WWE, Del Rio gets lazier, but like he goes to like Ring of Honor and puts on amazing matches, or goes to like the Indie Feds, puts on amazing matches, and then he just kind of slows it down a bit.
Do you think that has something to do with the way WWE conducts business? I don't wonder. I do find Del Rio to be one of those guys in certain matchups, even in WWE, he'll rise to the occasion. I think him and Cena put on a really good match when he first came back. And I was actually kind of surprised how they took the wind out of Del Rio's sail so quick when he came back.
Yeah.
Because that was such a great surprise when he came back. They fooled everybody. Nobody thought, I don't know anyone that called that when Del Rio initially came back.
Yeah, he had a great opportunity with Zeb Coulter, like the Mexican America thing, and they kind of ended that early to form League of Nations. That wound up being a waste of a stable anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just the whole thing seemed weird. And then when the Barrett rumors came out that he was not going to re-sign, it's just like, where's this Barrett going? CM Barrett.
And finally, the fifth story of the week, former WWE and WCW wrestler challenges his tag team partner to a real fight. Who are we talking about? Former WWE, ECW, and WCW star Too Cold Scorpio,
yep,
bottom of the barrel here tonight, guys, shoots on his former tag team partner, Buff Bagwell, who is now an escort, I believe.
Yeah.
Scorpio says it was cool teaming with Bagwell, but he just thought Bagwell was a punk because he got his shot in a business handed to him. Scorpio goes on to challenge Bagwell to a shoot fight and tells Bagwell to hit him up on Facebook. Scorpio says he would beat Bagwell up for free, but he wants to get paid.
Hit me up on Facebook, Bagwell. That's got to be the most unthreatening way to try to start a real fight with somebody.
Here's his quote. I'm reading it verbatim here, guys. "It was never really something I looked into. It was something I was thrown into. I've always been a singles wrestler. As far as partner-wise, I would say Vader and me is probably one of the toughest and baddest tag teams out there."
Vader. He's like, Vader was one of the best big men who never won like the WWE world title.
What would they say? Big salt and bad pepper. When we come, it's coming. You know what I mean? Other than that, I've had a few great partners back in the day that I thought might have worked out. One of my biggest ones that I thought we could have went someplace, which turned out to be just a big pussy, was Bagwell. Buff the stuff, still stuffing his stuff. Huh?
Wow.
So, Too Cold Scorpio calling out Buff Bagwell.
Where did this come from? I mean, what's like, why now?
I guess he wants money.
Yeah, wow.
That's... And he needs to pay the bills because Target's not paying it anymore.
Do you think Buff Bagwell's going to accept?
God willing. And then we could see the 200 views on YouTube he'll get.
World Star. I mean, is this like...
Hosted exclusively by World Star. There you go.
World Star!
And the only way that it can be filmed is if it's in portrait mode on the phone. It can't be in landscape. It has to be in portrait mode.
Yep.
There you go. Book it. Oh, we just made this fight potentially interesting.
Dixie Carter's going to book that one because both were formerly in WWE.
Yeah. So, normally we would take a break here, but seeing as though we went a little bit over with the news and talk about WrestleMania, let's just go right into the Raw recap, Mike, if you will. And starting off with...
opening segment, we had Stephanie and Shane going at it. Shane was talking about how he was starting a new era in WWE, and then Stephanie came out to point out that it's going to be his last week running Raw, because Vince is going to decide who actually runs the show after Payback. I have a feeling there's going to be... I have a prediction for this. It's going to be a swerve, and Vince is going to pick Shane to run it. He's going to be like, well, I have problems with Shane, but... he's going to run the show now. how I think it's going to go.
So here's that segment from which opened Monday Night Raw this past Monday.
You think you can just pander to these people, Shane? They're from Hartford, all right? They're tough. They're savvy. They're smart. They're tired of politicians with smiling faces feeding them lies.
So they're tired of your mom?
I know, because I'm one of them.
Linda's going shopping again, folks.
That's right. I was born right here in Hartford Hospital. These are my people.
I don't think so, Stephanie.
No. They're
you
booming the shit out of you.
Recognize my importance, Shane.
She's
you
know, so good at drawing heat, though.
Yeah, she is.
The best heel in the
fact,
company.
I was on the phone all week because they
Owens.
Wanted to recognize Hartford's favorite daughter with a statue or, see, keys to the city.
They're
or
saying
even a monument in Bushnell Park. But that's not why I'm out here, Shane. I'm not one
Steph
to
needs to bow leave.
They're not booing Reigns. They're chanting for Bo Dallas.
You, because this is your last night running Monday Night Raw.
So there you go.
I'm telling you, they're and they'll probably give like Triple H and Stephanie SmackDown. But like Vince is going to swerve it and give Shane Raw. No, because everyone's expecting, like, from a story perspective, she's going to be smug and think that Vince is going to give her a Raw and make.
Are we doing fantasy booking now? Because we're gonna close the show with our fantasy booking for.
I'm just payback. I'm going the way that I think they're gonna the surprise turn they're gonna take with that with Vince is all I'm saying.
Maybe they'll try to set up a Shane McMahon versus Triple H match or something.
Maybe. Or Shane versus somebody of Vince's, like Kevin Owens, for example, since him and Shane have been kind of going.
Well, that's if Shane has said he actually wants to do another match. I think, again, rumors here. Shane only returned to WWE because he wanted one WrestleMania match and he wanted to bring his kids out.
Shane's a maniac.
I mean, yes, he is. And the fans and the talent backstage respect him far more than anyone else.
Yeah. So all right. So that's that.
Which is weird because he hasn't been around. He's like he just walked out on WWE.
I think they just like more likable than the other people in charge because he actually wants to work with them and help them improve.
Yeah. He's
whereas
one of the
Vince
boys.
Is more of a boss. Yeah.
So AJ versus Sheamus happened after that. Again, AJ Styles got a pretty good match out of Sheamus.
I'm glad you said that because like the only thing watchable in that match was AJ Styles.
Yeah. Well, because it's AJ Styles, he's wait for it. Phenomenal.
Right.
No, he's like one of the, like, when they signed him, there's a reason they didn't put him on NXT, because he's good enough to be a main event player in the main roster right now.
Like, oh, absolutely.
That's how good AJ Styles is.
And I think it was one of the clauses in his contract. Like, here, I'm here to make, you know who I am. Everyone in the wrestling world knows who I am.
If they signed him right after TNA, he would have went to NXT. But after that New Japan run,
absolutely,
that did wonders. And now he's like one of the top selling merch guys on the company. Like him, I think he was like one of the top five shirts sold the one week that we mentioned last week when they're at least the fourth highest ranking shirt. Nakamura was another one, but he's a top guy. So, after that, I mean, after that, we had the tag team promo. That involved New Day, Enzo and Cass, and the Vaudevillains, which all teams that are great with mic work. Like, all three of them. So, like, that was a segment that was a fun one to watch. I mean, and here's some clips of it right here.
The number one contender tag team tournament that we've started is off to a huge success.
Of course, the tournament sponsored by Booty!
I like the up, up, down, down shirt he's wearing, too.
Booty!
Poster of the night.
They make sure you ain't booty.
How can you hate the New Day?
You can't.
For the best.
Some respect. Respect. On the name. Respect the name.
That happened a week ago, too.
Of the new number one contender for these here
AEW.
The New Day is the South Park of WWE.
They really are.
Every week they have a new current reference.
Yeah.
And that team at
By the way, I just noticed their socks that are outside their sweatpants. I just noticed that.
And the up, up, down, down thing is Xavier Woods' show.
A YouTube show? Nice shout out to Prince there in the ring, yep. too.
Here come the vaudevillains who have one of the best entrances with like the old timey.
Too bad
music.
The crowd is
gentlemen,
not into them.
Gentlemen.
Which sucks because they're a really good team.
I believe you meant to say that when we, the vaudevillains, become number one contenders to those WWE World Tag Team Championship.
I hate his mustache so much. He has every hipster's mustache.
But no, it's an old-timey
thing. It's great.
Are going to party like it's 1899.
Whoa.
Hey, there was
because
a lot of stuff that was
see,
legal back then.
We represent the values and standards of a bygone era, one which we plan
they
to
do
bring
the, like,
back.
I feel uncomfortable
WWE.
When white people say to black people that they like the values of the 1890s.
Yes.
That made me uncomfortable.
So here comes out probably the hottest thing going on right now with WWE.
Stand atop the WWE.
Oh, listen to that.
My name is Enzo Amore. I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Big Cass, and he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that.
This reminds me of the New Age Outlaws, where everyone knew their entire promo.
Yeah. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm like that they throw Great. In the soft how you doing when he says a really
Tweedledee
good line.
Tweedledee and Tweedledummer have something to say.
Oh, well, these two teams.
Tweedledee has got something to say. And I'm going to keep 100 with you like a high fever, English. The board villains want to be number one contenders. And I want to run down a beach into my own arms. That's impossible.
There's only one team walking out of Payback. The number one contenders great. For the tag team championship. And that is going to be us.
So there you go.
Oh, man.
Enzo and Cass. Best thing going on in WWE
man.
Tag Team Division.
That... Every time there's one line that's a gut laugh line, and for, it was the I want to run into my own arm, run down the beach into my own arms, but that's impossible.
I mean, that's what they do. They'll say things that I actually honestly laugh at, where it's like I feel like a lot of WWE jokes are just really bad attempts at trying to make me laugh. I'm just like, I just sigh, you know.
And so Cass legit make me laugh.
And
it's
the last couple weeks, like I mentioned, he had a line and he'd be a real good line. Then he'd do the soft how you doing, and that just like how you doing, and that made it funnier.
Oh, it absolutely did.
Oh man,
Enzo and Cass, best thing going on with WWE right now, especially in the tag team division.
So after that, we had Anderson and Gallows had their debut match against the Usos, which. Again, they did the right thing, and the Bullet Club guys won the match. That was their, and it was against the Usos, which makes them a credible opponent, a credible threat in the tag division, because they beat the tag team that is like was considered the top tag team in WWE for most of the last couple of years.
I saw a lot of internet rage though about what happened after the match with Roman Reigns coming out and cleaning the ring out.
Yeah, if there's anything wrestling fans are all agreeing on, it's booing Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns has united the marks and the smarks, but not for a good reason.
Like in a sea of hatred, they have one common enemy, and that's Roman Reigns.
He is to WWE what Negan is to the communities in The Walking Dead. Like that, they all are going to join together to hate him.
Right. What's next for in the Raw recap?
All right, so after that, we had Sami Zayn versus Rusev, which is a pretty good match, like, considering it's Rusev, but he plays the power heel pretty well, and I like the fact that they did the roll-up win for Zayn, so it didn't. So it was a surprise win, like most of Daniel Bryan's Ring of Honor wins with the small package.
I did like I did like the fact that Zayn up until now was just the lovable loser, and he finally actually got a win against somebody. But I think I was more happy to just see Lana at ringside again. That's just me.
But the thing too, though, like Rusev has become that guy. He's an upper mid carder, but he's the guy that you have your faces beat to get him a credible win.
Yeah, but eventually Rusev's going to lose all credibility as well, because if he keeps losing...
No, because they feed him other people to make him look strong, and they only save those kind of losses, like tonight and then a while ago to Cesaro on TV when Cesaro was right before he got hurt. They did the same thing. Like, he's the guy that you give the surprise wins or the grueling tough match wins against to make the guy look credible. And he might get a main event run at some point. But Sami Zayn is, by the way, is going to take that Daniel Bryan spot. Like, he's definitely going to take that spot.
We'll see. I mean, I feel like he's a great candidate to take the Daniel Bryan spot. But I also feel like the Daniel Bryan spot was a very unique thing in WWE. It was a perfect storm. I don't know if it's just that easy to book something like that.
But the thing, though, is Sami Zayn is very likable and connects to the crowd very well. He sells so well that it gets the crowd into the match. And here comes the win.
There we go. I love Sami Zayn, by the way.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
He's so beloved. They're Lana trying to throw her shoes at Zayn.
I think that's why I'm a skeptic, because I'm just waiting for WWE to ruin something I love. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. She's throwing her shoes at him.
And he flips her off in return.
That was interesting. That was an interesting exchange.
And the fans sing along to his theme.
Why not? We said last week on our final thought, it's one of the catchiest themes ever.
And now here comes the main part we want to talk about. Oh, you. Which was Kevin Owens attack Sami Zayn at the end of that video. So, again, they've been building that feud pretty well. They actually have a really good hype video for that played, I believe, on Raw. So, and again, this is a match that I think everyone's wanted to see since Kevin Owens signed with WWE.
Oh, absolutely.
These two going at it, because they're just, they've had so much history facing each other in the indies. And there's Kevin Owens wearing a shirt with sleeves for the first time in history on WWE TV. And again, that's going to give Owens the monster heel heat in this feud, because Sami Zayn is so loved. So he's going to draw a ton of heat, and I'm really hoping those two get at least 15-20 minutes on the pay-per-view.
I hope they get at least 15-20 minutes.
I'm selfish. I want a half hour.
Well, listen.
But we know it's going to be match of the night.
Yeah.
We know this.
Jericho is facing Ambrose. I think they could surprise people with that.
That's
one.
True. So after that, we had the Ambrose, speaking of Ambrose and Jericho, the Ambrose Asylum segment, which, again, it was actually, there was a, Ambrose got to be serious a little bit on that one, because as a face, he's been kind of the goofy face, or the crazy lunatic face, and then they gave him a serious moment here. They kind of let a little bit of Jon Moxley come out, almost, for half a second.
In a dump like this. Oh yeah, it's a dump. Whole place is a dump.
Have you forgotten who you're dealing with, Ambrose? I don't say I'm the best in the world. I am the best the world.
Jericho's the best.
Do you understand
so good
what
on
I'm
the mic.
Saying to you right now? And in case you're like all these idiots and can't get it through your pea brain what I do, I'm going to remind you. What do? I win matches. I make history. I command respect. And I elevate every single opponent that I step into this ring with. You understand me? You should be.
Jericho, above all else, is just doing great work as a heel again.
Of the active main roster, the full timers, though, Ambrose might be one of the absolute best in the microphone. if they, and he'll be even better when they give him a chance to like be himself.
I'm sorry, Chris. I am sorry that you paid so much money for those ugly ass shoes.
Leading up to this, Jericho demanded an apology from Ambrose.
I'm sorry that you're walking around everywhere wearing a scarf. Chris, I'm sorry about your stupid Bon Jovi haircut. I'm sorry that you're an insecure egomaniac. I'm sorry that you pissed me off so much. I'm sorry that I gotta beat you this Sunday at Payback, but I am not sorry for this.
Oh, and Ambrose was right after Jericho. And Dean Ambrose wasted a little time.
And there it is.
That Jericho right out here in front of us.
That part there, again, was then letting out 0.01% of Ambrose as Jon Moxley in that promo. Like, more of that, and he'll be, like, the top anti-hero in WWE.
I mean,
we've said it before on, I think, older episodes of the show. We've said that Ambrose has potential to be this generation's Austin, because you hear, just like when the glass shattered and people cheered because Austin was coming out, whenever they hear that little Ambrose's intro, they immediately, like, oh, shit, things about to go down.
And I feel like they're kind of cut, like, pushing Ambrose back a little bit and keeping him away from the main event because they're trying so hard to make Reigns be the guy. So, and now, speaking of Reigns, we're going to talk about him, you know, beating Del Rio and then standing tall against AJ and the Bullet Club guys.
So there you go. Here's how Monday Night Raw went off the air this past Monday night.
By the way, your main guy that you're trying to make a babyface, he's getting beaten down by the Bullet Club, and they're cheering.
This is Roman Reigns' biggest
people who just debuted in WWE as well.
AJ trying to be like, what are you guys doing, man?
Styles making his way down here.
Trying to keep this a fair fight, man.
This is why I think they're going to help AJ Styles somehow. He is getting just booed out of the
crowd. Did not like that.
And again, this is WWE editing. It was, the boos were much louder on Raw.
Now,
and our Styles.
Yeah.
And that, folks, is how Monday Night Raw went off the air.
Isn't Payback in Chicago?
Yeah.
They're going to destroy Roman.
Annihilate Roman Reigns.
Oh, my God. It's going to be... Oh, man. And against AJ Styles.
And we all know Chicago, Philadelphia, and New York are the three big, smarky, really sarcastic, douchey wrestling fan cities. So if you're Roman Reigns, you do not want to face anybody on a big pay-per-view in those three cities, and he's facing arguably the most popular guy on the roster right now.
I feel like they're trying to turn him heel at this point, because there's no way he's going to be cheered. None whatsoever.
Do you think he would get cheered if they turned him heel?
Maybe, but like if he beats AJ Styles, this is what they've put themselves, the corner they painted themselves in. The only way the fans are going home happy and not bitching is if Roman Reigns loses. And they're probably not going to have Roman Reigns lose to AJ Styles. So
WWE Payback this Sunday on the WWE Network. And we should get paid by WWE because we hoard out so much. But $9.99, you get all the content you want from WWE. Payback, I mean, Josh, you went to WrestleMania, and Payback, to me, is a much better card and better build than Mania.
I'm usually severely disappointed by the first pay-per-view post-Mania. I'm usually disappointed by the card. This year, not at all. This is I'm looking forward to watching this.
So let's get it going. Payback predictions. Pre-show, Kalisto versus Ryback for the U.S. title.
Oh, how the U.S. title has fallen. I don't see why they give it to Ryback. I don't think he's... I mean, they probably will, but I'm going to stick with Kalisto.
I think I'm going to stick with Kalisto as well. Yeah.
There's no reason to give it to Ryback.
I think it's going to be Ryback. I don't understand why they're giving him a second shot at it, two pay-per-views in a row. Something makes me think that they want to give him some kind of push with the title.
But they tried with the Intercontinental title and he failed. That's like, what I have listed is, all right, we'll go this way. Enzo and Cass versus the Vaudevillains to become the number one contenders to the tag titles. So there's been rumors that the Vaudevillains are going to win that match, but I'm going to go with Enzo and Cass because Vince is very ADD with his booking, and they're the hottest tag team in the right now, and the Vaudevillains aren't getting too big of a reaction.
And for that very reason is why I'm picking the Vaudevillains, because Vince has not done smart booking.
I'm going Vaudevillains. Yeah, I'm going with Vaudevillains because of the classic, the heel's going to win because they get the face.
That's true.
And I think that Enzo and Cass should face the New Day eventually. I think it actually deserves more build-up than just a tournament win.
I think Vaudevillains cheat their way to win, and Enzo and Cass then screw them out of the tag team titles with the New Day, and then these two teams go at it for a few more times.
And then we'll say Anderson and Gallows win the tag titles, and then that's when Enzo and Cass get there. Right? Well, that sounds like good fantasy booking.
That sounds like good fantasy booking as well, I think.
Next match, Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin. Let's face it. This match exists to feed Dolph Ziggler to Baron Corbin.
Poor Ziggler.
That's where he's fallen at this point.
He's the Rusev of the faces.
Yeah, he's the face Rusev. They're going to put it, and honestly, I don't have much faith in Baron Corbin. I don't know why.
I think he has a good look. You can't just get by on all look. I do think he has a pretty good heel persona. A lot of that's based on breaking ground. I just think in real life, he's actually a dick. So
yeah,
I think that helps.
Like,
I think that comes across on camera. And WWE needs to update their monsters. We can't. Kane, Big Show, and Mark Henry aren't going to live forever.
Yeah,
they need more.
Even though Big Show said on Austin's podcast he's got two more years left on him. Nope.
No. We need new ones. Next match. So I think we're all pretty much saying Corbin for that one.
I think so.
Next match: Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho. With the exception of WrestleMania, let's face it, Jericho's there to put guys over.
Ambrose needs this win.
Yeah,
Ambrose desperately needs this win after a very lackluster match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
After
eating the pin in the triple threat match for the number one contendership, after losing to Triple H, he needs that win. So yeah, they're going to give it to Ambrose.
Absolutely, I agree. Ambrose goes over Jericho here. Next match, Intercontinental Championship. Falcone, your boy Cesaro, a.k.a. James Bond, is facing The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship.
I'm picking Cesaro because it's about time.
I'm sorry, it's not even for the title. It's just The Miz versus Cesaro.
No, is it for the title? No, it's for the title.
Okay, WWE.com.
Ooh, scared me there.
You need to update the title. Intercontinental Champion, The Miz versus Cesaro. You need to say for the championship.
Yeah, he won a match to get the number one contendership, so.
My mistake. Intercontinental title match, Cesaro versus The Miz. I'm going with Cesaro on this one. If I'm smart booking here, I think The Miz somehow cheats to win just to keep the rivalry going, but I'm going with Cesaro because, goddamn it, Cesaro needs something.
That's the only way The Miz wins is if it's a cheat-to-win situation, and then he gets a rematch next pay-per-view. But Cesaro deserves it with all the work he's been putting on.
Pull the trigger, give it to Cesaro. This is his moment.
Next match, which might be the best match of the pay-per-view. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
I'm picking it immediately as the best match of the pay-per-view. Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
I'm gonna be honest, they might even start with this match, so it has a hot start.
I think it might start with the Intercontinental title match.
Well, yeah,
or even the tag match.
One of those matches are going to start the pay-per-view, and this is a good candidate because if they give me enough time, it's going to be the best match of the night.
But who do you guys think is... I'm actually torn on this one.
Yeah.
My instinct tells me Kevin Owens is going over. Maybe it won't even be the cleanest of victories. But man, does my heart want Sami Zayn to get this one.
I'm picking Zayn just because all the times that they faced Owens has gone over, Owens has always gotten the better hand. And the way that they've been showing the video promos that Owens has been screwing me since day one.
Yeah.
Zayn's going over here. And now I'll just continue the rivalry even
you
more.
You know what? If Zayn wins, Owens attacks him post-match. But I think Owens wins and it keeps the feud going.
Okay.
That feud's going to last till through SummerSlam, though.
Women's Championship. Charlotte with Drunky in her corner versus Natalya with a bitter ex-wrestler in her corner.
Hey, that joke is 4 out of 10. All right, buddy?
There we go. Women's Champion Charlotte with Ric Flair versus Natalya with Bret Hart in her corner. What do you guys have?
Charlotte.
Yeah, let's face it.
I like Natalya, but
looks way too much like Ann Coulter is going to keep the title.
This is
shit.
This is the hold us over until the inevitable Charlotte Sasha Banks.
Yeah,
rivalry.
When Sasha wins that title, yeah.
Mr. McMahon announces who controls WWE Raw. Who does
Shane.
He get, who does he give control of Raw to?
Shane gets Raw. Stephanie gets SmackDown.
an unknown third party. I'm throwing out a wild card.
Oh, look at you.
Donald Trump, he's endorsing Trump for president.
John Laurinaitis comes back.
Oh, God.
I'm here to promote Total Bellas.
No, he's going to give. Shane's so over right now. You have to give it to him.
And finally, your main event, World Heavyweight Championship, Roman Reigns versus challenger AJ Styles. Roman Reigns.
I don't know. Like, I've heard rumors that, like, his merchandise sales, AJ Styles, are so good that Vince has turned around on him completely and now just watches his matches and grins. So there's a very good chance AJ Styles wins that match. I could even say
if WWE does not want a second pay-per-view in a row to end in massive boos, they give it to AJ Styles. They just have to.
Now, what if this is the moment that Reigns finally goes heel? Maybe Reigns goes over, but he goes over in a heel turn. Maybe he aligns himself with
that's a waste of Gallows and Anderson. Let's be honest. What they could do is make the Usos heel as well.
That's
and
true.
Make that be a stable.
There you go.
All right. So there are our WWE payback predictions. Josh, final plugs. Where can they find you on Twitter?
At Josh Ain't Funny. Yeah, follow me. I need followers.
Do it.
Punchy, you are at Hipster Punchy on Twitter.
Yes, and I'm going to be at the Slaughter stand-up tournament in June, so that'll be fun.
I'll be there, too.
And I am at Hams Slaughter Gruber on Twitter. This is Brainstew Wrestling. You can follow at Brainstew Radio on Twitter. Thanks for listening, guys. Podcast will be up shortly. Take care. See you next week.